can open this Bible this morning, and anywhere we read, it's about you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you come enlighten our eyes, that you come and revive our hearts, that we can receive from you revelation for who you are. Draw us to you, Lord Jesus. Draw us into your image. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're carrying on with a series on liberty in Christ. We are in Romans 8. We're going to do a few verses there. When we talk about salvation, there's a theme that runs through from Genesis to Revelations. We find this nation, Israel, that was born because of one man having faith in God, Abram. Israel is in Egypt because of Joseph, that had a dream, and then God sent him and set him right next to the ruler of Egypt, Pharaoh. Then Pharaoh changed, and Israel was in captivity. Suddenly they had to build cities for the Pharaoh. So when we talk about salvation, you have to see that it's a people that is in captivity, and they cried out to God. And God came to Moses and said, my people are crying out to me. I want to save them. So when we talk about salvation in the New Testament, it's the same thing. It's a people that is in bondage. It's a people that is entrapped in a kingdom, and that's the kingdom of darkness. And it's Jesus Christ that's rescuing us and saving us from the kingdom of darkness and bringing us into a kingdom of light, his kingdom. We've spoken about this, but the kingdom of darkness, the value system is fear. Everything that happens in that kingdom is based on fear. So Satan promises a lot of things. He promised Jesus the world. I will give you all these kingdoms. Just bow down to me. That's what Satan promised Jesus. Jesus, of course, when he was at his weakest, he was fasting for 40 days in the wilderness. No water, no food. At his weakness, he said to Satan, get away from me. So, salvation is as important now, and the context has not changed. Jesus comes and he rescues us. He frees us from bondage. He frees us from fear. The value system in the kingdom of God is love. Love is stronger than fear. As light is stronger than darkness, love is stronger than fear. I think where we are in Romans 8 is verse 25. We just go there. I think that was the last verse. I think the first verse now is 26. I can start with that verse 25. You don't have to change slides, Daniel. But if we hope, let's just first do the topic is liberty in Christ. And we're speaking about our comforter this morning. Our comforter, the Greek word for comforter is parakletos. And I wrote some words down. I've always thought that this word is only connected to the Holy Spirit. But in John 14:16, Jesus says, I'm going to send you another comforter, another helper. The word another shows that Jesus was the comforter. While Jesus was on earth, he was the helper. He was the comforter. He was the counselor. He was the legal advocate. Actually, we find that word, legal advocate, parakletos, also in 1 John 1:21, I believe. 1 John 2, verse 1. Where he talks about Jesus now sitting at the right hand of God, the Father. And he is again parakletos. He is our legal advocate, sitting at the right hand of God, the Father. But I don't want to talk about that this morning. I want to talk about the Holy Spirit. So the definition for Parakletos is one who acts on another's behalf as a helper, a legal advocate, an advisor, or intermediary. So some interesting facts is that you find this word Parakletos 5 times in the Bible, and all of them is in the books of John. John wrote 5 books. He wrote the Gospel of John, he wrote 1, 2, and 3 John, and he wrote the book of Revelations. So we find this word 4 times in the Gospel of John and once in 1 John. Okay, let's get back to the scripture. Let me go to verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our weaknesses. That's the King James Version. I'm reading here from the New King James Version. It's a little bit more friendly on our ears. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So the time that we are in, a time of fasting, I just want to ask a question. Is there anyone that struggles to fast or they become physically sick? Because I hear this quite often. Is there anyone here that becomes sick when they fast? Okay, 1, 2, 3. 3 that become physically sick. Okay, I would like to pray for you. I wanted to do it actually in the beginning, but I'm going to do it now. Father, I come before you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we know that you are love. And Father, you have given us this discipline to fast. What we don't want is to become sick while we're fasting, Lord. So I pray, Lord, by your Holy Spirit, that you will help the people here that struggle to fast and they actually become sick when they fast. Give them wisdom, Lord, how to fast. I pray this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. So, fasting, never think about food when you think about fasting. The world also talks about fasting, but they don't use it in a spiritual context. So when we fast, Joel says it in Joel 2 verse 12 at Gerdau read, we rend our hearts and not our clothes. So let our focus don't be so much on food and the abstinence of food, but rather on connecting to God. The time that we spend on eating food or doing anything else, that rhythm that we have every day, we set that time apart and we connect with God. That is the incense, that we leave something. And in that moment, we connect our hearts to God. So don't focus too much on the food and the abstinence of food when we fast, okay? So we can see in verse 26 that the Spirit is the one that helps us. It's amazing that as human beings, we try to connect to God with our wisdom, with our minds, with our righteousness, what we've done for God already up till now. We try to connect with that, with our power, our strength. I will do this. I will fast so long. I will pray so many hours. I will read my Bible so many times a day. But what Jesus has done on the cross is He's provided for us to yield to Him so that the Holy Spirit can help us. So Jesus hasn't provided the 10 rules or 100 rules that we need to follow every day. He says in John 15, abide in me, and then the fruit will come. That fruit, we haven't got control over the fruit. Jesus is the one that produces the fruit. So this verse, when you read this verse, you must realize that you can't even fast without the Holy Spirit. It's not Boris deciding, I'm going to start fasting this morning and I'm going to carry on for 3 days. I need to ask the Holy Spirit to help me. Mara's not going to be able to stay without food and drink for 3 days. I need the help of the Holy Spirit. And we need that help with anything. Even if we pray, I was thinking about Our Father, praying the Our Father. Most of us learned it at our bedsides growing up, the Our Father. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We can say it up easily enough. But have we ever prayed that prayer with the Holy Spirit? Because that is where the power is. Even that simple prayer that Jesus gave the disciples is such a powerful prayer when we pray by the Holy Spirit and with the help of the Holy Spirit. So the second part of that verse is, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So again, it's by the Spirit. This is such a beautiful time to picture in your mind friends and family that you know they're struggling. You know they're in a battle, whether it's spiritual, whether it's emotional, whether it's physical, financial, doesn't matter. This is a time where you can come before God and you can, like He says here, groan before God. Groaning is like this innermost, it's like, God help them, please. It's like you want to do something for them, but you can't. But that's a good feeling, because God uses those groanings to help us. Life isn't fair. I spoke, I don't want to name names now, but somebody lost a friend this week. Just suddenly got sick, got a virus, and he died. Young man of, I think he's 20. That's not fair. But God calls us as a community to care for one another. And where there is pain, the other one's pain is not necessarily your pain. It may be something that you don't struggle with, but that person struggles with it. God calls us to pray by the Holy Spirit, to groan for that person. There's a strength in that. We're going to read just now, I think it's Galatians 5, where he says that faith works through love. And we had a missionary once here that explained, he used this conduit, Sam, from Uganda. He used this conduit, he said, from here to that light, the electricity that runs in here, if this pipe gets broken, the electricity cannot reach the light. It's the same with love. If love is this conduit, faith runs through that conduit, from us praying to that next person that's in need. And when that pipe gets broken because we're not loving, maybe I'm praying and I'm thinking, you know, I'm better than that person because I'm not struggling with that anymore. That is pride. It's against love. So that pipe gets broken. That faith can't reach its destination. Faith runs out there where the breakage is. You understand that illustration? So faith works through love. I think it's Galatians 5 or 6. So the next verse, the verse 27, now he who searches their hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So you have three parties involved here. You have us praying, asking the Holy Spirit to help us. He says, he who searches their hearts. Who is that? It's God the Father. God the Father searches our hearts. He says he knows what the mind of the Spirit. So the Spirit is groaning through us, praying through us. And God knows what the Spirit is picking up and what is his desire. And God answers according to that. It's a beautiful verse. Verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to the purpose. And this verse follows on to the previous one. as we connect to the Holy Spirit and we allow Him to pray through us, then this verse is applicable. And we know that all things work together for good. The person that you will pray for, all things will work together for good. We may think, say that person is in need of finance. Now we're praying for finance. We think that's the answer for that person. We don't know what's in that person's heart. Maybe God needs something else to happen first in that heart before He gives that person finance. I always explain to Gerda, if there's a crack and there's pressure that comes on top of that crack, what happens? That crack becomes wider, like the South Andreas fault. The moment there's pressure on top of that fault, then earthquake starts happening. It's the same with our hearts. When there's a crack that God wants to heal, now you can put a million on top of that crack. It's a lot of pressure that you're putting on that crack. God first wants to touch the character, and then you want to do other stuff in that person's life. So the Holy Spirit knows this. The Father knows this. What we need to do is just combine and allow the Holy Spirit to pray through us. You guys get that? So then we can say this verse, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. What is the purpose of life? You think about that for a moment. If I can pull up a picture, I remember me as a child in school going through the report on Sundays, going through the job section and seeing what is the highest paying jobs there. That was like the engineers, the doctors, and this is what I'm going to study this and this is what I'm going to be. That I thought that was the purpose. The Bible teaches us that our purpose as His children is to become every day more and more like Him. And we'll see those verses when we carry on. Jesus was the first one that came out of the grave. And now this happens to us. Every time that you say, yes, Jesus, every person that says, yes, Jesus, you are my King, that person becomes born again. And Jesus calls him brothers. I'm running ahead. Let me read that. Verse 29. For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, so that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. That's our purpose. To become like Him. Romans 12. Verse 1 and 2, I can quickly page there. Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. If you picked up on that word, conform. 12, verse 1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So this world wants to conform us to its standards. But God calls us to conform to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. How do we do that practically? By reading the Word. By asking the Holy Spirit to teach us. And as He teaches us, He's actually changing our character. That default behavior that we have of response, for example, I've given it 1,000 times, if somebody stops in front of me in the traffic, it's a response that I have. Gerda doesn't have that response. I don't know why, but I've got that response. That default changes because God starts working inside us to change our character. That we respond in a different way. We start responding in love. That's what Jesus could say in Matthew 5, 6, and 7 when He explained His kingdom. He said, when somebody hits you on the left cheek, then show him the other cheek. When the Romans, and it was a law, when the Romans require you to carry their baggage for a mile, carry it for 2 miles. See, Jesus was talking about the heart. What is in your heart? So Jesus is the firstborn among many brethren. How far did I go there? Up to 29. Do I jump to Galatians 5 now, Daniel? Next slide. Okay. Good. So Galatians 5, we're speaking about liberty in Christ, and I went to this in the week, Galatians 5, and it's speaking on up on this theme in Romans 8. Galatians 5, verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. So we said in the beginning, when Christ died on that cross, he did everything for us. There's nothing extra we need to do. We don't have to believe now in Jesus and do a couple of customs, different things to keep Jesus happy. He's done everything. I don't know if you can remember when we did Romans 7, we were married to the law when we were unsaved. The law was our husband. He says in the first six verses of Romans 7. And then when we believed in Jesus Christ, we got a new husband. That relationship died. And we have a new husband now, which is Jesus Christ. We can't go back now to that old relationship. And this is what Paul is addressing here. He says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. Do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Indeed, I, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. So that was custom law. The Jews, when a baby was 8 days old, became circumcised. There was other things as well that they had to do. Go to the temple every Saturday. And so Paul is saying to them, and there was a whole council in Jerusalem, I think it's in Acts 17, there was a whole council in Jerusalem about this. Should we carry on with the Jewish practices when we have come to Jesus Christ? And Peter was the one that stood up there and said, when we've come to Jesus, that is it. He has done everything. We can't add to what he has done. He has fulfilled the law. We can't go and add now extra laws or carry on with keeping the law. Because when you keep one law, you've got to keep all the laws. There was only one man that could ever keep all the laws. That was Jesus. And he was in a body just like this. He kept the whole law. He was without sin. And therefore, when he died, he came and he became sin. He that was righteous, he became sin. And that righteousness, he gave it to us as a gift. So that when we now believe in Jesus, God gives us that righteousness of Jesus. That we don't have to keep the law. So verse 2, he says, indeed, I, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. So don't just think about the law as something given on the mountain long, long ago. Works, any works that we do, even though it looks spiritual, if it's not by the Holy Spirit, it is law. It is works that we do. And you can test it. If you do these works, you want somebody to recognize it. When God works through you by His Holy Spirit, the fruit that comes from that, you don't care if it's recognized or criticized. You don't care about that because you know God is working through you. He's working the fruit. So you don't worry about being recognized. Verse 3, and I testify again to every man who becomes circumcised that he is a debtor to keep the whole law. Verse 4, you have become estranged from Christ. You attempt to be justified by law. You have fallen from grace. So it says, where you were married now to Christ, now you're going back to the other side, where you were married to the law. You've fallen from grace. Verse 5, for we through the Spirit eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love. Verse 7, You ran well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? Oh, such a tough question. You ran so well with the Holy Spirit in faith, in love. What stopped you? What deceived you to go back onto works again? This persuasion does not come from Him who calls you, talking about Jesus. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. The gospel is so simple, our minds struggle with it. Our minds want to figure it out. We want to know how it works and what must we do. But the gospel is all about just submitting to Jesus, just yielding to Him. Like that picture I saw in the beginning of us just lying against the Father's breast, just looking up into His eyes. That is the gospel. It is from that place that Jesus then through the Holy Spirit works through our lives. And He draws people like Stephen this week, all the way from Sofia, draws him here so that we have a half an hour to interact with Him. For us it wasn't necessary to go to Bulgaria. Bulgaria came here. And it was such a beautiful moment that we could have with Him. That is Holy Spirit, that is not man. No man could have planned that. So, I think this morning I just want to encourage you, stay in the liberty that you have received. Stay in that freedom that Christ has given you. Don't work up works. What must I do? How can I increase my faith? How can I increase my holiness? We can't. Only the Holy Spirit. The key there is Holy Spirit. Only the Holy Spirit can increase our holiness or make us holy. I don't think it's an increase in holiness. It just makes us holy. Because the Father is holy. And for us to go into the presence of the Father this morning, the Holy Spirit comes and He makes us holy. That we can stand in the presence of the Father. And it's by the blood of Jesus. It's not by our works. So I encourage you, go through these scriptures again and stay free and keep it simple. Don't make it complicated. Don't add works to what Christ has already done. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you that your word is so simple that even children can believe it. Thank you, Lord, that you keep us as children before you. Thank you that you said to the disciples when they did not want the children to come to you, it is such as these that will enter into the kingdom. You change us, Father, where we are not like children. Change us so that we can live simple lives before you. And we can keep the gospel simple. And we just be your children and just enjoy you and enjoy each other. Keep us safe in this time of fasting, Lord. And thank you for chains that falls off anything that keeps us in captivity. I pray, Lord, in this time, over this church, your blessing. And that, Lord, that we will walk in your freedom. As you freed Israel from Egypt, I thank you that you have freed us from the kingdom of darkness. To walk in love and to walk by faith in the Holy Spirit. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.